Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Stick Together, Australia's only national radio show all about social justice and workers' rights. Stick Together is produced at 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne and broadcast across the country on the Community Radio Network. I'm Diana Beaumont. The national elections are coming up in New Zealand, or Aotearoa, and later in today's show, I'll be playing an interview I recorded last week with Jo Carolyn, an organiser with the Unite Union for Fast Food Workers and a candidate for the Manna Party. We'll hear his take on the key workers' rights and social justice issues in this upcoming election, as well as some news from the New Zealand union movement more generally. So stay tuned for that coming up soon. But we begin the program today with our own Conservative government here in Australia. Since being elected a year ago now, the Abbott government has attempted to discredit unions with its Royal Commission into Union Corruption. And as we've said umpteen times on Stick Together, the ultimate purpose of the Royal Commission is to smear unions' reputation and public standing and thereby weaken opposition when the government tries to introduce policies against the interests of working people. And sure enough, in 2 weeks' time, the National Senate will vote on amendments to the Fair Work Act. And some of the changes proposed are being called worse than work choices. Now, joining us today to tell us more is a regular guest and faithful supporter of the program, Jed Carney, who's also president of the Australian Council of Trade Unions. Jed, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
These amendment bills are heavy on the technical detail, so let's flesh out some of the main points one by one. Mm-hmm. One of the most striking proposals is that employers would be allowed to pay workers on an individual contract in non-monetary benefits instead of cash. Explain how that might work if these amendments are passed.
Yes, this is quite concerning, actually. So there is a provision whereby non-monetary benefits can be traded off for money. And there's no requirement for that benefit to be quantified in any way. So it's going to be very difficult for an employee to say, well, if, you know, I'm told that I can take half a dozen pizzas tonight, exactly how does that quantify in terms of how many hours of pay that might work? There's absolutely no need for that to be put into the agreement. And now this is particularly bad because there's a number of other things that actually go along with this. Number one, it's really up to the employee to determine whether those non-monetary benefits benefit them or not. So the employee has to be in a position to understand what it means to trade something off. And number two, once they've done that, they actually sign a document that signs away their rights so that if indeed later on down the track somebody finds that they are worse off and that they didn't meet the better off overall test, there's no compensation whatsoever for that employee at all, so they can't regain any of the money they lost from signing that awful deal. And coupled with that again is a requirement that an employee can't get out of any contract, even if it is unfair, for 13 weeks. So, it is a lot worse, we think, in some ways than AWAs that did ultimately eventually have a better off overall test where it was the employer's responsibility to make sure that the employee wasn't worse off.
The ACTU's been campaigning for several years on penalty rates, and unfortunately there's been a Fair Work Commission ruling since we last spoke that reduced weekend penalty rate loadings from 175% to 150% in restaurants. Are there any changes to penalty rates in the Coalition's Fair Work Amendment Bill?
Well, not explicitly, and I think this is where the government is being a little bit sneaky, if you like, because we have Erica Betts who keeps saying, oh no, we are not interested in removing penalty rates, we're going to leave that up to the Fair Work Commission or the Productivity Commission, etc., which is problematic in itself. But what they are doing by introducing IFAs, of these individual flexibility agreements, is they use as example a woman who needs to work weekends because that's the only time that she can get care for her children, say, for example. And then the Minister Blythe says, so she can enter into an agreement with her employer whereby she says, oh, look, I really need to work weekends. If you give me weekends, I promise I'll give up my penalty rates. I won't ask you for that extra. So, you know, this really infuriates me, absolutely makes me angry, because there are so many women out there right now who work weekends because they can only get care, they can get babysitters or whatever on the weekends. They rely on the penalty rates for their take-home pay, and now the government is giving the employer powers to say to those women, even though they're already employed on weekends, being paid penalty rates, to say, if you want to keep your job on the weekends, then you're going to have to sign this this agreement saying that you're prepared to give up your penalty rates.
Under the amended Fair Work Act, individual contracts or individual flexibility agreements would be secret. How is it that they'd be secret, and why is that significant?
Well, there's no need for them to be lodged anywhere. So they don't have to pass any test at the Fair Work Commission, or they don't really have to be submitted to anybody for oversight. And so basically, they enter into an agreement with the employee to say, this is an agreement between you and me alone. And so that in itself is secret. Now, we know that this happened with AWAs as well. And this is something that we think is a real problem.
Over the years, one union in particular has won gains for its members who work from home, and that's the Textile Clothing and Footwear Union, who've won greater protection for outworkers or home-based clothing workers. Explain how these amendments would affect home-based clothing workers.
Well, the TCFUA really did some fantastic work here with the last government in getting protection for piece workers who, as we know, get paid by the piece, so by each garment they make. Say, for example, they would perhaps get around $5 for a garment, and this would put enormous pressure on them to stay up all night, for example, to get an order done or just to make enough money to make a living. They didn't get any workers' compensation or any annual leave or any sick leave. And the TCFUA did a lot of work in deeming that over a period of time these workers would become employees, where they would actually enjoy some protections of the Fair Work Act. They would get an hourly rate, they would get some paid leave and sick leave, they would be protected by a whole range of occupational health and safety standards. Now, our understanding is that this Fair Work Amendment Bill actually waters all of that down and maybe even removes most of those gains that we won for our workers, and I think that that is a huge shame.
We're speaking to Jed Carney, President of the ACTU, about the Fair Work Amendment Bill, which the National Senate will be voting on in less than 2 weeks' time. Jed, what's the ACTU's campaign approach in your bid to stop the Amendment Bill passing the Senate?
Well, we are hoping, we've got a little window of 2 weeks before the Senate sits again. And we really need the crossbench senators, so that's the PUP senators and Ricky Muir and Senator Madigan, amongst others, to understand how important the Fair Work Amendment, or the Fair Work Act itself, is in its current form, and how the amendments will have an adverse impact on workers. So we're asking people to go to our social media, to go to our Facebook page, Australian Unions, and they'll see there what they can actually do to help us get this message to the senators.
Yeah, because there's pressure required on those crossbench senators, because we've seen just recently that Palmer United Party supported the Abbott government in reducing superannuation contributions. There was going to be that increase of compulsory superannuation to 12%, but the Coalition and Palmer United have limited the fixed payments to 9.5% till July 2021. So it shows that without that public pressure, there are crossbench senators who will support the government to get anti-worker legislation over the line.
This absolutely gobsmacked me, this one. I could not understand why they would want to disadvantage so many low to middle income people by reducing their retirement savings. Really, this was a big blow to working people that the SG was delayed, and also that the low-income superannuation contribution is basically given an end date and will finish. Now, the PUP senators have tried to explain this by saying, oh, well, this means it will be an election issue, and if Australians really want these things, then they won't vote for Abbott at the next election. But as we all know, it's not that simple. I mean, elections are run on a lot of things, and it's really hard to get every single issue up as an election issue. And once things are gone, you know, often it's hard to get them back. So we were really, really very disappointed.
Yeah, especially if they were tied to the mining tax in the first place, right, which is gone as well.
Exactly. And it was a good tax, you know. It's just, they've really basically taken away a tax for the richest industry in this country, the mining industry, to pay. And they have put a, you know, basically lowered the incomes and increased taxes on the low-income and middle-income Australians. And I just, it beggars belief for me. Anyway, they did it, much to our disappointment. So we have to make sure that they can really understand what's at risk with the Fair Work Amendment Bill.
Yeah, well, as the Australian Union sites posted this week, we've only got 1 year down to the Abbott government, hopefully only two more to go. So, Jed Carney, President of the ACTU, all the best with this ongoing campaign.
Thanks, Diana.
You're listening to Stick Together, all about workers' rights and social justice.
Every week on the Community Radio Network.
Have you heard about 3CR's national programs? Coming at you on community radio stations around Australia, produced in the studios of 3CR Melbourne.
Services will be cut, jobs may well be lost, and workers' entitlements will be undermined.
Their basic human rights are as important as everyone else.
Over 200 million years, individual species have evolved. I mean, birds were once dinosaurs.
Anything nasty online seems to be targeted against women.
Muckety is a bad deal, but Muckety is absolutely not a done deal.
You're listening to Women on the Line.
Welcome again to Lost in Science.
And welcome to another edition of The Radioactive Show.
You've been listening to Earth Matters on the Community Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Accent of Women.
It's Anarchist Wall this week.
Listen to Beyond Zero, Global Warming Science, Solutions and Action.
You are listening to Let the Bands Play.
Tune in to Stick Together, Worker Stories and Union News.
Grassroots Voices broadcast weekly on the Community Radio Network.
And you're listening to Stick Together on the Community Radio Network, your weekly roundup of union news. And don't forget, you can listen to a podcast of Stick Together or any of 3CR's national programs by going to 3cr.org.au.
The general elections in Aotearoa, or New Zealand, are coming up on the 20th of September. The Conservative National Party and its Prime Minister John Key have been in power for 6 years now, and they're the strong favourites to win again this year. And today, to talk to me about some of the main issues presented by this election contest, I've got Jo Carolyn live on Skype. Jo is an organiser of low-paid workers in the fast food sector with the Unite Union, and he's also a member of Socialist Aotearoa. He also is a member of the Mana Movement, best known for its pro-Maori platform, and Jo's contesting the seat of Mount Albert in Auckland in this election. Jo, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Jan. Pleasure to be with you.
Jo, start by telling us about the Mana Party or the Mana Movement. Why have you, as a trade unionist, joined Mana? And what's the relationship between the Mana Party and the trade union movement in general?
Well, to go back a wee bit, neoliberalism was introduced in New Zealand by the Labour Party in 1984, and those wounds still run deep in the union movement. Unite is an independent left trade union formed by people who were in the Alliance Party, which was a left-wing break from Labour here in the 80s and 90s. There are other people to the left of Labour who are still suspicious of that party, who don't feel that there's a home there, and want to see some more radical action. And when there was a break in the Maori Party here, who joined with the Conservative National Government, there was a meeting of like minds between radical Maori and radical trade unionists and leftists. We came together and formed the Mana Movement. I suppose that was crystallized beforehand with a movement against the so-called terror raids, where the state used force to arrest quite a lot of leftists and Maori that it suspected of being Paris. So that's kind of a little bit of a background to the formation of the Manor movement.
And for you as a trade unionist, what are the main policies that you're taking to this election in New Zealand as a candidate for the Manor Party?
Well, I think one of the powers that a smaller left-wing party like us has, movement, is that we push the discourse, even of the more mainstream parties like Labour and Greens, to the left. Unite Union has been fighting for a living wage for workers before it was fashionable nor favourable for about 4 or 5 years. And we've succeeded in pushing the wages from $7.25 youth rates up to $14.25 in the last 8-9 years. We've successfully unionized a lot of fast food workers and that. So one of the big policies now is for a living wage for workers in New Zealand of $18.80. And that now has crossed left support, not just from MANA and Unite Union itself, all the unions, all the parties of the left backing that. So that would mean an instant $2 an hour increase in wages if we win the election in 4 weeks' time, and that's not something to be sniffed at for low-paid workers.
And just so we can put the Manor Party in context, how big is the Manor vote?
Well, before this election period, we were at about 1.5% in the national polls. We're now polling, depending on which right-wing poll you believe, because they're mostly right-wing, but they're polling at us between 2.5% and 4%. So this really puts it on the map, I suppose. The election of some of the main candidates in the party list will be revolutionary, because as well as Hana Harawira, who's a fearsome and well-known Maori activist, we'll also see him joined in Parliament, possibly by the likes of Laila Harre, who's leader of the Nurses Union, who got a 30% increase for them. She led the struggle against Progressive Enterprises as well when we had a big lockout here. We might see the election of Annette Sykes, who's like a Bernadette Devlin of the Maori world, a radical lawyer for treaty issues. And she defended the people who were taken in the terror raids. And, of course, lastly, my old comrade John Minto, who's a lifelong socialist who never joined parties, who's got contempt for Parliament, and who's a great friend of the workers. And, of course, he led the big anti-apartheid movement here. I mean, the election of these guys to a bourgeois Parliament, you know, these are really going to be trumpeteers on the dunghill, as James Connolly called it.
Well, obviously Australia Age of Worklings doesn't endorse any particular party in the New Zealand elections, and today we're wanting to get a sense of what the National Party's impact has been in its last 6 years in office in New Zealand. I think the last time I did an interview with someone from the Unite Union in Auckland was in 2010 when John Key's government was planning to introduce new industrial relations policies reminiscent of Australia's work choices, like provisions for a 90-day trial period exempt from unfair dismissal, changes to workers' compensation, and limitations on union access to workplaces. Joe, what's happened in the last 3 years with those policies?
Yeah, well, all those things have happened, and it's a kind of a death by a thousand cuts, I suppose. They've changed tack. They've got a kind of a popular, nice guy to front the National Party. And so they introduced this bit by bit, not as a full package like they did in the 80s and 90s, not like the shock doctrine. However, it's true, workers can be dismissed for any reason within 90 days. They've reintroduced youth rates, which is discrimination against younger workers. But with all these attacks, I think because we have a vibrant movement from below, we've been able to not only fight them, but in many cases to blunt them as well. So, for example, with youth rates, none of the fast food multinationals that Unite unionizes, and we unionize them all, reintroduce youth threats. We threatened immediate and terrible industrial action, make or day, which it would. I mean, that was the movement that helped to build our union in the first place. None of those we introduced. They tried to do it in supermarkets. We put on big pickets with our colleagues in the first union, succeeded in beating them back there. So even if they've got power in Parliament, even if they pass legislature, it shows, by example, if you like, that we can still beat it on the streets and using our industrial muscle.
We're speaking to Joe Carolan, who's an organiser with the Unite Union in New Zealand and also a member of the Manor Party. He's contesting the seat of Mount Albert in Auckland in the upcoming national election. I wanted to ask about another issue that's of great concern to people in Australia and around our region, and that's the TPPA, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, a neoliberal free trade agreement. The key government has brought the New Zealand government closer in line with US foreign policy. So tell us about what the National Party's position is on the TPPA.
Yeah, the National Party supports the TPPA and is negotiating in secret. So a lot of players don't actually know what they're negotiating on, what concessions they've made. National made huge concessions to foreign multinationals already. A good example of this would be the debacle around the Hobbit movies with Peter Jackson and the Warner Brothers Corporation, where basically National sold out all employment rights, so there's no employment protections at all in the film industry, and gave massive tax concessions to Warners and a film that they didn't need it anyway. So those kind of huge sellouts to foreign multinational companies are very clear to the union movement and to most New Zealanders. The TPPA actually is not opposed on principle by the Labour Party either, which makes people to the left of Labour still a little bit suspicious that they haven't broken that wedding with neoliberalism. Mm. There is a march today in Auckland called National Not Our Future, but one of the main blocks in that will be the TPPA campaign as well.
The party that you're with, the Manor Party, is, I suppose, best known for its pro-Māori platform. And one interesting thing I find about New Zealand politics is that you have Māori-specific seats that can only be filled by Māori candidates. Can you explain how that works? And do you think that's a system that Australia could adopt to increase Aboriginal representation in our parliament?
Well, one of the good things about politics here in Aotearoa is that there was a treaty between the colonialists and the Tangata Whenua, the guardians of the land here. Now, this relationship has been fraught. The treaty has been broken many times. And the identification that Māori have with the radical working class movement as well. I mean, a lot of the best shop stewards, a lot of the best delegates in many of the unions have been Māori and are Māori. And this is not like the meeting of two alien worlds. Māori have played a huge role in the trade union movement in New Zealand. They suffer from poverty the most. They suffer from homelessness the most. All the statistics, Māori are at the bottom of those. So class issues, if you like, are felt hardest by Māori here in New Zealand. There was a nationalist project before this called the Māori Party, which got control of nearly all of the Māori seats. The Māori seats were created to recognise, if you like, that Māori had a special constituency in New Zealand with the colonial state here. But with the Māori seats, there is a contest between this old nationalist formation, the Māori Party, who are now in coalition with the right, and the new Manor movement. Labour in there, of course, as well. Manna is seen as the left, not only of Maridom, but now increasingly with the involvement of Pakeha and Tauiwi, leftists of a wider constituency too. But nobody has a problem with Maori leadership. That is as it should be, because Aotearoa is Maori land.
Joe, in addition to standing as a candidate for the Manna Party, you also organise with the Unite Union for Fast Food Workers. And you told me before we came on air that your union's planning for a global day of action for fast food workers next year. Tell us about that, and particularly tell us about the international dimension of it.
Well, whoever gets elected, Unite Union will continue to fight from below for the lowest paid workers in New Zealand. And there's five things we're fighting for. We're fighting for a living wage. We're fighting for guaranteed hours and against zero-hour contracts. There's no point in having a good wage rate if you don't have enough hours to work per week. And oftentimes, little Hitler managers will cut workers' hours for 5 to 10 hours to punish people. So that is a huge blow. If you're only earning $400, to drop down to $300, it means you have to make a choice. Do I feed my kids, or do I pay the rent? Do I pay the electricity? We want guaranteed hours for all workers. And that is why we're going to have a fast food general strike on May Day. And not only here in New Zealand, but we've also made links with the fast food campaign in the United States and also the Philippines. So the potential for this to go global is something that is not just nice, but actually necessary, because the companies that we're fighting are the massive global multinational fast food companies.
Exactly, and the issues that workers face around the world are also commonly held. Joe, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joe Carolyn is an organiser with the Unite Union and is standing as a candidate for the Manna Party in the upcoming New Zealand elections.
And that was an interview I recorded on the 30th of August and originally broadcast on the 3CR program Asia Pacific Currents. But I'm happy to play it for you again today on Stick Together. But that's all we've got time for on this show. If you enjoyed the program, then keep in touch with us by liking the Stick Together page on Facebook or subscribing to our podcast via 3CR's website, www.3cr.org.au. As always, I'd like to thank the Community Broadcasting Foundation for its financial support of the program. I'm Diana Beaumont. Thank you for listening, and do tune in again at the same time next week.